Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Real, Relevant, and Raw Relationship Radio at its best. Real, Relevant, Raw broadcast every Monday evening from 10 p.m. until 11 p.m. through Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, along with the Candy Girl of Comedy, my co-host,
Amir Ryan. It's the Candy Girl. What's good, y'all?
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another show, another opportunity to keep it real, relevant, and raw, bringing you the best in relationship radio, bringing you the most current topics, the hottest topics, the trending topics, the most controversial topics, coming at you with the unique perspective of Michael Teague and Amir Ryan. I want to give up the guest calling number. Thank all of those who are listening live. And also, we're grateful for those who are listening via the archive. You want to call in tonight to listen in from your mobile device, your smartphone, your iPhone, your Samsung. You can call in right now, 646-716-7031. That's 646-716-7031. If you are listening on your mobile device tonight and you want to speak to us, you have a question or a comment, you want to challenge our perspective, call in that same number. 646-716-7031 and press 1 to speak on the air. I want to also invite us, as we begin tonight, to become a follower of the show. Simply go to our show page. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/realrelevantraw. Click on the follow button and you will become a follower of the show. You can also catch us on Facebook, on my personal page, on the Mirror's page, and on our show page, Real, Relevant, and Raw. So, Mirror, how you doing tonight? Everything all right? You ready to get it popping tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm well. Just a little upset, you know, with that child being murdered in the streets. Crazy. Yep. Before we get into our subject matter tonight, I just want to holler out that anybody listening and they're interested, I'll be at Warm Daddy's Wednesday performing stand-up comedy. Very, very upscale venue, black-owned. Come on out and support if you're in the area. And the show starts at 8:30, and it's $15 at the door.
All right, we're talking about Warm Daddy's in Philly. This coming Wednesday, Merritt, at 8:30?
Yes. And it's 15 at the door. Like I said, it's, you know, upscale. They have soul food. You know, very, very nice, elegant spot with some entertainment.
Listen, everybody, I want you to show Amira some love. She is a professional comedian, continuing to build her brand, lending her unique and comedic perspective to this show. So I want you to show her some love and support her this coming Wednesday at Warm Daddy's, 8:30. Be there. Show Amir with some love. Nice topic, everybody. Listen, there are not many topics that emotionally that I am connected to viscerally that evoke feelings in me. This Michael Brown killing has touched my heart, has affected my mind, and so much so that I decided to interrupt our scheduled program tonight, which is about sexual harassment in the workplace, part of our workplace drama series, to talk about this topic tonight. Let me start by giving us a timeline. I want to deal with the facts. Before we get started talking about how we feel about it, what it means to us, let me start with the facts, with the timeline, and I'm taking my information now from the USA Today, and I'm going to deal with the first few days of this situation. Saturday, August 9th, 11:48 a.m. to noon, an officer responds to a call of a sick person. 11:51 a.m., another call comes in about a robbery at a convenience store. The dispatcher gives a description of the robber and says the suspect is walking towards the Quick Trip convenience store. At 12:01 p.m., the officer encounters Michael Brown and a friend as they walk down the street. Brown is shot to death as a result of the encounter. 12:04 p.m., the second officer arrived on the scene, followed by a supervisor 1 minute later. An ambulance responding to the earlier sick person call drives-by and responds to assess Brown. I'm going to deal with one more day. On Sunday, August 10th, Michael Brown, 18, was unarmed. St. Louis County Police Chief Joe Belmar says in a news conference, Belmar says Brown physically assaulted the officer, and during a struggle between the two, Brown reached for the officer's gun. One shot was fired. Pay attention to that. One shot was fired in the car, followed by other gunshots outside of it. And on that night, that day, I should say, Brown's parents retained attorney Benjamin Crump, who represents the family of Trayvon Martin, as their counsel. Candlelight vigil to honor Brown later turns violent. More than a dozen businesses are vandalized and looted. More than 30 people are arrested, and two police officers suffered injuries. Since then, Real Relevant Law family, we have learned that allegedly Mr. Brown was someone who they say robbed the convenience store, pushed the owner, found out that he was shot 6 times, and found out that he tried to surrender and was still shot. He found out that the governor, I believe, of Missouri called in the National Guard, that they've been firing tear gas, and some of the protesters have become violent, throwing Molotov cocktails. We have discovered and we witnessed, I know I watch CNN every day, a city, it seems, these with tensions on both sides, with distrust on both sides, the residents in Ferguson, Missouri, not trusting the police, and the way it looks, the police not trusting the residents of Ferguson, Missouri. People are tired. People have had enough. And we're here tonight to talk about this situation. When will the killing stop? Let's listen to a song and come back and finish talking about this topic, get into it, talk about our feelings, talk about what can be done. You're listening right now to Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio.
Damn. Hello?
We're here.
Do you have your ticket? Are you paid in full? Well, everybody say, huh? Huh? A song you have made one of the funkiest songs in America. And now the world over. Y'all ready to jam, y'all? One more time. It feels good, like, yeah, stop fucking the groove, man. We'll be right back.
Everybody listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting every Monday evening from 10 p.m. until 11 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Michael Teagle, along with my co-host.
I'm Mira Ryan, the Candy Girl of Comedy. Damn, Michael, that was the longest song in history. Oh, my God. No wonder no one was fat back then. Oh, my God, you danced for like 25 minutes, what, before they got to the hook. Wow.
Yeah, you know what, it was 4 minutes and 57 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, it's funny, I have played longer songs, and maybe it seems longer because you know what happened? It's the live version, the Fantastic Voice, everybody, and so they had a little speaker at the beginning. So, listen, we're back, everybody. And we're talking tonight about a very, very serious topic that is close to me because I actually have a 7-year-old son, Michael Jaden. And let me just say that I see two callers in the queue. Please press 1 if you want to speak on the air. If you just want to continue to listen in, just, again, continue to listen. If you want to speak on the air, please press 1 so I will see in the queue that you want to speak on the air. But we're talking tonight about the Michael Brown situation. Again, close to me, I have a 7-year-old son in the mirror and listening audience. This morning as I was preparing to go to work and Mike was getting ready for school, I had CNN on the air, and that was interesting. 7 years old, going into the second grade, asked me, Daddy, what's happening on TV? Because he saw the images of the tear gas being shot. He saw the images of the Molotov cocktails being thrown, the reporters running from the scene, a young man being carried away by police officers. So my 7-year-old son, Amir, asked me, Daddy, what's going on? And Amir, I have to say, a listening audience, I have to say that I was faced with a dilemma. And I said to myself, do I tell him?
Yes.
What's happening? Yeah. Or do I somehow sugarcoat the truth?
Mm-mm.
And Amira, listen. I told him exactly what was going on. And what I'm going to do for Amira right now, I'm gonna go to a caller.
That's right, Mike. Wait a minute before you let Simon. Let me just say, I also have a son.
Yes.
I have a 21-year-old son. How about that?
Yes.
And while we're talking about this incident that happened, sometimes I wonder when my girlfriends have said, you know, it's easier having a girl. I don't know. I don't know about that. It's so much you worry about. What do you worry about with your daughter? The most thing about her having a baby, getting pregnant, your son? Oh, my God. It's a million different things you got to worry about with your male child. And whilst we're getting on, we haven't even really started. What do we, the incident we're talking about that happened in Ferguson and the unrest, my son's friend, and I'm going to let the caller chime in. I just want to get this in. My son's cousin tonight, who's been in the hospital, a young man, I think he's 23 years old, haven't been aware. He had an ulcer in his stomach, a bleeding ulcer. He was in the hospital, had a bad allergic reaction to some medicine they gave him. So he was in the hospital, he's not aware. He came in my room and was like, oh, my goodness, look, Amar, this the World War II started over in Gaza. I'm like, that's not Gaza, boo-boo. He was like, what?
Yeah.
He was like, he said, where is that? I said, that's not in the third world, like in Israel. That's not the Gaza Strip. That's right here in Ferguson, Missouri. He was too through. He was like, yo, it's about to go down. It's about to go down.
Amira, you know, it's funny. I got to say this before I bring our caller on. Just the fact, and you said it was your nephew, you said?
Yeah, he's my son's cousin, but I call him my nephew.
Your nephew. I mean, for him, the images, see, everybody, it's the images and the reality that the images depict. The images depict a war on foreign soil. So you see the image, and you think Baghdad, you think Gaza Strip, you think ISIS, you think a third world country during the Civil War. No, it's not Syria, it's not Baghdad, it's not the Palestinian Israeli conflict. It is a war going on these shores. Take our caller. and we'll get back to our conversation. Caller, you are live on the air. You are live on Real Relevant Raw. Please tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
Hello?
Caller, you are live on the air.
Can you hear me?
Who you are, where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, we can, caller. You are live on the air.
Okay, I was only planning to listen in for a little bit. I must have accidentally touched in because, you know, this is Nikki from New York. I actually have a whole lot to say, but I don't even know where to begin. I guess I'll start with the situation in Ferguson. And because I wanted to touch on two situations because, you know, the thing right here in New York is hitting home for me. You know, we had a black man that got killed with police brutality as well. We just didn't take to the streets like they did in Ferguson. But, you know, I hear a lot of things, you know, saying black on black, we accept it every day and things like that. I've heard a little bit buzzing about that for quite some time now. I don't really think we accept it every day. It's just the nature of the beast living in a city that has, what, almost 11 million people in it in New York. So it's kind of crazy, that concept, you know, black-on-black crime. But I'm going to remove race for a quick second because I think where we're at, what upsets me about this Ferguson incident, race is always relevant. Don't misunderstand me. The problem is it's with law enforcement first to me. Because it could have been a black cop that killed the kid, and I still would have been just as angry. You don't expect the people, your tax dollars hard at work to pay their salaries, to turn guns and start gunning us down. You just don't expect that. We pay these people. Our tax dollars are hard at work. You know, these fools out here that's running around with guns every day, that's what they choose to do, take up and bear arms and kill each other. Okay, it's not right, but we're not paying them. We expect to feel safe with police officers, and we definitely don't. So I think that's what the outrage should be first. Race is a close second because it doesn't matter what color they all are. It just makes it even worse that it's a white cop with a black man because we know that racial tensions will always be. I'm not going to say it has been. It will always be. As long as we're breathing on this earth, race will always be a factor. It's just what it is. No, we've come a long way, but yet we still got a long way to go. So, I mean, that's just my quick stand on it. I don't want to take up too much time. I mean, this conversation can go on and on. But the fact that we expect the police officers to protect and serve the community and they're gunning us down or choking us out is kind of crazy to me.
You know, Nikki, the thing is, and listening audience, Mayor, the thing is, the clearest image I have of a police vehicle, other than knowing and it advertising the city out of which it comes, is that motto, to protect and serve. And I think the reason that the police evoke such feelings with many persons of color, and particularly African American, is because in our history, nothing could be further from the truth, for the most part. And there are exceptions to every rule, and there's different commentators I listen to who always qualify their statements by saying that into a lie, because every police officer is not a menace to our community. At the same time, with this Michael Brown situation included, oftentimes to protect and serve translates for us into to terrorize and terrify.
Pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm a little excited about this topic because it's hitting home a lot, you know. I have a family member of mine doing 25 years to life for a crime he didn't commit, but that's another topic. But I'm just saying, the black male, Amira was right, they have a lot to face in a day by being a black male, period. Before we even start talking about where they're from or what college they went to or where they work, just waking up being a black male is an issue in America. Because the value of a man's life here doesn't seem like it weighs much.
You know, it's funny, Nick. I got to jump in real fast and say that I resonate with what you're saying because I'm a black man living in America, and it's not easy to be a responsible black man in America. And also, Nikki, what I'm going to do, and Amir, what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually bring on another caller who's been holding for a few minutes, and then we're going to continue the conversation. Caller, you are live on the air. Good evening. You are listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw. Please tell us who you are and where you are calling from. Hello, caller.
Hi,
you're
Mike.
Live on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
How you doing there? This
who's
is Russ. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Russell, what's up, man? How you doing? Say hello.
All right. How you doing, Amira?
Say hello to Amira.
God bless. Listen, first of all, I'd like to commend, you know, the previous caller for their insight. And I think that's part of the root of the problem when she mentioned, you know, about the focus being on black males. You know, one of the things that happens, and I'm really saddened by this whole situation in Ferguson and in New York, and, you know, as an asthmatic, I can't even imagine being in the situation that brother was in New York. This whole process is like, you know, since we, you know, were forcibly brought to this country, nothing has changed. We came here, you know, we were conquered, enslaved, and brought to this country as slaves, and our status in this country has never really changed. We have various
exactly.
forms of social deception to present the fact that we progress, and we see images on television, we see wealthy people on television and, you know, loving hip-hop and all these things. But the bottom line is that our purpose in this country was originally and continues to be as a form of labor to make money, okay? So our life is really not valued here. So when you look at the way we're treated in this country, we're not valued. And so when you look at the way I look at it, when you look at, and I'm not condemning any particular law enforcement person, but law enforcement as a whole, you know, their focus is to keep folks in check. And today, you know, and I may be a little harsh, but, you know, the way law enforcement is going down, it's almost like it's a modern-day form of overseers. You know, they just now wear uniforms, and you may have even heard this position before. And what they do for the public is one thing, but when in reality what they're doing, if you look at this, the school-to-prison pipeline, you look at the large numbers of African-American males who've been, you know, directed towards the prison system since the 70s, this stuff is by design. We get caught up into some of the more superficial aspects of it, but the reality of what's going on is right before our eyes. To see people respond like they are in Ferguson is very important.
Exactly.
Sometimes it takes a really heightened moment, and unfortunately there will be a casualty, and somebody will lose their life in order for us to get the message that was already there. We have to unite. We have to come together. I'm not saying that we need to be violent or anyway, but we got to come together. And it's unfortunate that it takes these type of situations for us to come together and see the reality of what's going on with us every single day.
Exactly. Well, so I'm going to jump in. Nikki, are you still on the line?
I am, and I definitely have one quick comment.
All right, and you can both of you can stay on. We're going to take a quick musical break. You can stay on. You're listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw. Tonight's topic is the Michael Brown killing. The killing has got to stop. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague. Amir, are you still on with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. Amir Ryan is the candy girl of the comedy. It's sad. I'm just letting them have a forum.
Listen, we'll be right back. Everybody hold on. Stay on the line. We're going to take a quick musical break, and we will be all right.
Okay, Amir. Yep.
don't know. Every time I move, I lose. When I look, I'm in. And every time I turn around, I'm back in love again. Back in love. When you put your arms around me, I feel so satisfied. Every time I move, I lose. When I look, I'm in. Every time I turn around, I'm back in love again.
Back in love again.
All right.
Back
in love again.
Everybody, it's Michael Teague. You're back listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, along with my co-host,
Amir Ryans, the Candy Girl of Comedy. What's good, y'all?
And we have Russell on, and we have Nikki on. Nikki, you still there? Russell, are y'all still there?
Still here.
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. All right, so Nikki, before I move to break, you had a comment that you wanted to make for everybody who may just be tuning in. Tonight's topic is the Michael Brown killing. It has to stop. Nikki, what is your comment?
I wanted to elaborate on something that Russell said, and I definitely agree with you 100%. You had stated, I may not be verbatim, but basically the violence is an attention getter for sure. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, you're looting your own neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's the part I don't agree with. But for more reasons than what the average person may think. What's going to happen is in this neighborhood where they're looting is who's going to drive the cost of items up. And then, you know, we mostly hear people say, oh, there are never any good things in the hood. Well, this is why. Because the minute something breaks out, they look for a reason to start destroying your own areas. So companies are not going to build in the quote-unquote hood. So this is why you don't see Starbucks in certain neighborhoods, and that's just to touch on that briefly. But to be out there throwing the tear gas back at the police, absolutely, absolutely. Because you know what? They not backing down. Now, the looting and all the other stuff is, I don't agree with that. But to stand toe-to-toe with them, I respect it. I definitely respect it. I might be the only one to respect it, but I'm standing out here respecting that, definitely.
Russell, did you want to jump in, Russell, and comment?
Let me tell you something, man. This young lady's on fire, man, and I really appreciate her passion and her spirit. I'm agreeing with her 100%. We can accomplish so much more, you know, by coming together and using this as an impetus to rise up and to look past all the nonsense and come together. But when we turn on ourselves, which is part of what you know, certain mindsets expect us to do, what they look for us to do. And they look for us to do it so they can justify continued oppressive and violent attacks toward us. So I like to put out the inner airways and side with this young lady and say that, you know, let's use our brains, let's use our passion and our anger for something positive and, you know, come together and not turn on ourselves and not justify the criminalization of us standing up for ourselves. It shouldn't be criminal for us to stand up and come together, you know, so let's not take that road, but let's definitely stand firm.
And I agree.
Can I just jump in here? Anywhere?
Yes, yeah, Mayor Justice, definitely jump in.
Anywhere, please.
Go ahead,
tonight.
Jump on in.
Anyway, I just want to say this. Us as black people, how about this? We need to come together when any child is murdered in the streets. We need to stop doing it when the media glorifies it and they run it in and looping it 24/7, because that's what we do as black people. That's when we tend, and I'm not saying all of us, that's when we tend to want to get involved. If we get involved every single time and have this type of passion, every single time a child gets murdered in the street, and I don't care who it is, because this is the problem. They're not going to value us if you don't value your damn self, okay? It's no way. Black kids kill black kids for the same reason cops do, because they see no value. Now, once we put some value there, put some jobs, once you create education and a need and a thirst for being educated, a child's always going to do better. I don't care what nobody say. Yeah, you might not be working in your field with that college degree, but at least you're a step ahead. You coming out of college, at least knowing your child got a step ahead of the game in having a job and having a career, being able to take care of themselves. That's hard. That's hard. Getting them through high school is hard enough. I'm with that mother. She said that on TV, and I'm going to let y'all have it, and y'all can do y'all thing tonight. She said it. It's hard enough for her to get that boy through high school. Somebody had the nerve to gun him down, to be executioner, jury, the police. You was everything, everything in one. You did everything and took that child's life. I don't give a damn if he stole a car. I don't care if he stole a Cadillac. It doesn't matter. But we as black people need to start standing firm when any child is slain and gunned down in the streets of America. And I rest my case. And I'm going to leave y'all with this. One more thing. I gave one of the biggest marches in the state of New Jersey, and it's on YouTube for Trayvon Martin. I'm trying to put together something now. I don't want to, because people come at me like, Amir, you only do it. No, I always march. When I march with Trayvon, my sign said for all the children. But Trayvon was the catalyst for me to get off my behind and do something. And if not, then when? And once you do it, continue to do it, because I continue to work with these kids. You know what my son said to me? He said, Ma, after you did all that marching, what came of it? And I cut his ass down because he was being slick. Yeah. Yeah. You know what came of it? I started a basketball organization in the park, Asbury Park, okay, for youth to have tournaments at night. They put lights out there finally after 20 years. I had to prosecute to stand with that crowd with over 1,000 people and promised him that he would do that. I also raised enough money right there on the spot to give 80 black children swimming lessons. That goes a long way. Maybe you'll be an Olympic athlete. I don't know. But let's try and do something. That's what happened, Amar. I gave one black child hope, and that's always my goal. And that's all I got to say, y'all. I'm sorry. I was passionate about it. I was holding it in.
Hey, listen, let me just say this, and then I want Russell
awesome.
And Nikki to jump in. Let me just say that this issue, this, and it's more than an issue. Let me take those words back. This reality, Michael Brown's death, and all of the issues surrounding it evoke emotion. I had to take all day, and then Nikki Russell, I definitely want to hear from you. It took me all day to process this, so when I got on the air tonight, I could co-host the show. I cannot tell you the degree of pain I felt when I had explained to my 7-year-old son about police brutality, about a white officer killing a black young man. And after I had the conversation with him, I waited until we got in the car. And I said, Mike, what do you think about what happened? And first he said, I don't know, Daddy. And then he said, you know, Daddy, if I had a gun, I'd shoot it. And my 7-year-old son said. So I had to clarify now, because I don't know if he said he would, if he meant he would have shot Michael Brown or the officer. Now listen to what this 7-year-old kid, who would you have shot? He said, Daddy, I would have shot that police officer. That's what my son said. So what perception of police is he forming in his 7-year-old mind? That the Russell and Nikki jump in. Let me hear some feedback.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I certainly feel you know, what Amir is saying. That's raw. And that's the truth. We need to be focused on this every single day, and not just because, you know, somebody's life is lost. Every life is important. Our lives are at stake every day, and our children's lives are at stake every day. That's a tough one. And
especially
you
our
know,
black males. Especially
yeah.
our black males. And look,
yeah.
I get it. I get why it's hard to swallow, because he was a police officer. Our tax dollars, well, not mine because I don't live in that city, but those people tax dollars. I do pay federal. All that shit count, okay?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
dollars,
yeah.
tax
yeah.
dollars basically pays that man's salary.
Exactly.
How dare you? I do get why the outcry. Don't get me wrong. I can't get all. I'm obsessed with the case. You shot that boy in his head. As a mother of a son, I can't. That's big like that. I worry about my son all the time because he big. All the time. And you always see is that the big black men, or if they tall, they threatening. You know what I mean? It's always the dark-skinned, tall one. I you know, I'm sorry. It's case after case after case. It's just ridiculous. You know, so I do get it, but I'm just saying, as a people, you know what I mean? If we got this infuriated when those gangbangers and all that bullshit be running through the neighborhood and don't nobody, I don't give a damn. I got on a loud stinging toe. I don't care, because if I see you do some dumb shit, I don't care. I'm telling on you. You have to kill like 50 of us, because if 50 of y'all go down to the police station at the same damn time, kill 50 of us then. That's what it's going to be. I'm sorry, because it's just ridiculous. You got to take a stand somewhere, or you're going to keep falling for the bullshit. As a people, we must come together as something. And I hope this the catalyst. I do. I hope this is it.
Nikki, are you still on the line? Jump in.
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening to, you know, everyone's, you know, voice. I mean, because we all matter. You know, I mean, we all have strong opinions about, you know, the stance that we're taking on it. And I'm gonna hit you guys with some real old Southern North Carolina wisdom that my mother used to tell me. I was too young to understand this. But everything start at home, and to put it in a Southern term, where your home training at? Let's start there first and foremost. Everything start at home. We can walk around. We can do all what we need to do to help. Yes, because sometimes they lack at home, obviously, right? So it's good when you reach out. I work for nonprofit. I know what that's about, to be there and give aid to whatever they may be lacking. But when you start with the bases at home, because I'm not going to never cut this brother down that got killed, because he didn't deserve it. Like you said, he robbed the Federal Reserve Bank. He didn't deserve to be gunned down with his hands up. But what the media is trying to paint too is what was he doing with himself, just in general too, just in life? He robbing. He was one of the black men that Mary's talking about. We robbing our own. We got to dig deeper, all the way deep. If we're gonna dig this shit up, we got to dig it all the way to the bottom. Because he wasn't trying to go to college, and he wasn't trying to do none of these positive things either. Some people.
I gotta jump
people,
in. I don't think guy the cigar where he took that from that store.
School,
those people wasn't black.
Some people old school may look at it as another thug is off the street. I'm telling you, I heard two older ladies say that shit. I was shocked. I was like, what? You mean this man got killed innocent, though? He could have robbed me. I'm an old lady. I'm like, man.
Nikki,
I mean, it's just
Nikki,
many
just
different angles at this. It's too deep.
Nikki, let me just jump in real fast. We're getting feedback from your phone. We're getting feedback from your phone. You still on?
Yeah, I'm on my headset. That's why.
Okay, yeah,
that's
what it is.
Yeah, but that store where he supposedly, that bull crap they put out about that cigar, it wasn't a black-owned store. So when I was saying, my point is about black-on-black violence. When I say that, I mean killings. I mean, shooting and killing each other in the street. I ain't talking about petty teenage stuff. He stole. That's not what I mean. I mean a little deeper than that. And you're right. It does start at home. Me and Michael have talked about on this show, have we not, Michael, about we've raised this issue about adults being present in the house doesn't mean that you're actually raising a child. We've discussed this, have we not?
We've discussed it.
You know, and it doesn't, you know, so when you're around the child, just because you're around the child don't mean you raise
no,
an old
no,
child.
I
and you're absolutely 100% right. I stand on that firmly. It starts in the home. It starts in the home. You're right.
I'm
but, this,
I'm
but, that's giving, but that's giving the fact
Nikki,
that you
gonna,
are raising the child.
I'm going to jump in 1 second, everybody. I want you to hold on to our last musical break. And then we're going to come back and finish up this topic. We have a passionate discussion. It's what I wanted tonight. Russell, we appreciate you being on. Just hold on, Nikki.
I'm still here.
Let's stay on. You're listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back in about 3 minutes.
Get down, get down.
You're listening to Real, Relevant, Raw on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, along with my co-host.
Amir Ryan, the Candy Girl of Comedy. What's good, y'all? Real quick, Michael, I'm going to let you have it. I just wanted to finish up with what me and Nikki were saying by saying that, and when we say, when I say stuff start at home training, I meant good and bad.
Yeah, it's the truth. And let me just say we have Russell on the line. Russell, we appreciate you being on. We have Nikki on the line. Nikki, we appreciate you being on. Listen, it is an emotionally charged topic. So I would be concerned if we were having this very calm, very intellectual. I'm trying to remain calm because I got to co-host the show. But I got to say, I'm pissed. I'm angry that yet another African-American male who did not provoke an attack, he didn't provoke the shooting, got shot and killed. And I'll just say this briefly. I was listening to Charlamagne Tha God on 105.1 FM out of New York. I think it's WQHT. And he mentioned it. He said, yeah, maybe Michael Brown did rob that store. Maybe he did snatch the cigar. He said, but did he deserve to be executed? No. Arrested? Yes. If he did rob that store, he deserved to be arrested. But did he deserve to be executed? Hell to the no. Again, I don't want to dominate the airwaves. I'm the facilitator of this dialogue. I want to thank you, Amira, Nikki, Russell, that, yes, we are passionate. And I think if we were passionate, there'd be a problem. But nobody, we're being respectful. We're hearing each other. So that's the kind of dialogue we want. What I want to do is shift gears for the last few minutes of the show. We have about 11 minutes. And I want to challenge us and press us tonight. What do we do about this notion, and we can't dance around, of white police officers who have had a history of killing black men? What do we do? In the mirror, you can jump in, Russell, Nikki. What do we do?
I mean, I don't know if it's ever going to change. That's the fabric of America. I'm sorry. I don't know if it'll ever change. I know we got to keep trying, though. We got to pushing and keep trying. I don't know if it's any one solution. You know, it takes us staying out there voting and getting these idiots out of office that don't want to do anything and move these kids along and get some type of jobs. You used to have a choice not to go to college and get a blue-collar job. Now, you know what I mean, if you don't got a college degree, even with a degree, you still could be flipping a burger. You know what I mean? So we got to do something for the youth. We have to, and I'm out.
All right, Russell, what do we do, sir?
I like to say that it's a combination of things, man. It's really tough. The basis of it, I think, it centers around both what, you know, Amira and the other young lady from New York was saying, that it's at home, but it's not just you know, what goes on at home. It's like, you know, how do we educate ourselves about, you know, our history, our culture, so that we become anchored in ourselves, that we basically almost like have a split personality here in this country. And I was listening to what the two young ladies were talking about in terms of, like, you know, the cause and where the focus is. And that's part of the outcome of the dilemma that we're put in. You know, we're American citizens, but we're black. And those are two competing forces that are going on. And when it's convenient for America, we're Americans. But when it's appropriate as far as our interests, you know, our lives, our good interests, then we're black. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to, like, really focus on our education. When I say education, our cultural education, our political education, so that every time we open our mouth, every time we make a decision, that we do it collectively, and we can stop, you know, beating ourselves down, stop being so mistrustful and suspicious of each other, and start, you know, one by one in the household with our sons and our daughters, start moving forward and do stuff like what Amira's doing. You know, when we have a chance to speak out and educate people, put that stuff out there in the airways. It's not going to happen overnight, but we can do it. We can do it. And stop being fooled and deceived by, just because we are in this country, that we're being accepted. That's part of the deception. We have to stop deceiving ourselves into believing that and look at life for what it is here, okay? We're still treated, and we're still under the premise of being slaves, but we can't continue to think that we're a part of this system, because the reality of it is that we're not.
Buck, I thank you for your comment. Nikki, you still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so Nikki, what do we do?
I think you know, I am a little naive when it comes to the notion about when I speak about it starts at home. I think of my own home, so I guess I have a somewhat closed mind to that concept, because I was properly raised. Now, what I did when I became a legal adult is on me, but we all know when you have some type of proper raising, you're gonna go to the
edge, but you're only going to go but so far. This is why I can be responsible to hold a job. This is how I don't go out robbing and stealing and scamming credit cards and doing all these things because, yeah, they start out as petty, but best believe when they feel that they can get away with it, people try and push the envelope a little bit further. So now they start out doing this, and then so now they graduate to this, and they do that because they don't. No one is correcting them. No one is doing. So that's what I when I say starting a home, that's what I mean. Because believe me, having a Southern mother, my mother never preached to me because I heard a mirror was saying yes. You know, women we had girls. The thing back in the day was better not get pregnant. My mother's statement still sticks with me to this day. I'm 41 years old. She said to me, when you pull your clothes down, you better know what you're getting into. All these things have laid a foundation of consciousness. And I think that's what we lack, the young people lack. They don't have a conscience of what's going on and what they're doing. They're just doing anything, just running wild.
They don't have a conscience. I got to say this on behalf of Reason Young Adults. You could do, this the thing I know, I instilled the best I know, yo, and showed my son by every day getting up, going to work, and providing for him, you know, the best I know. And after that, when they become an adult, it's on them what they take those tools and utilize them. But you as an adult and as a parent, as a mother, got to know, well, I instilled the best. And I'm not saying my son's a bad kid because thank God he's not. Like I said, he in the house every night by 12 o'clock. He ain't in no game. You know what I mean? He ain't doing nothing. He smoke a little reefer. That's all right. Okay? You know what I mean? I know where he at. He's safe. I'm sorry, y'all keep it G. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? So I understand when you say coming for, so you could raise your children, you know, properly, and then you got the ones that are the preachers, you know, daughters. My cousin, straight A student, had a baby, you know, in eighth grade, you know. So it sometimes don't always fall on the parents. Sometimes it is society and peer pressure, and sometimes all these children not built with that. Now here's the tool, like you said, give it to them. You have to be raised. Everybody out here not being raised, it's hard to swallow, but it's the truth. All these children out here are not being raised. And Michael, I just want to say thanks for having me tonight, y'all. Thanks for chiming in and all that good stuff. This is a topic that we need to discuss more, actually.
That's right.
Nikki, I think you I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Were you trying to comment?
No, I'm
done.
I'm good. It was a good show.
Everybody,
it was a good show.
Listen, this—it's a rough topic. I mean, and you know what? It's even more of an unnerving reality. I'm a black man. When I leave home, I wonder if I'm going to be stopped by the police. I've been stopped by the police, and listen, one of the things that I do is I will put my hand on the steering wheel. Listen to what I'm saying. Put my hand on the steering wheel and say, "Officer, I just want to let you know, I am not armed. I am taking my hand off the steering wheel, and I'm going to get my license and my insurance card." And everybody, I'm telling you, and I'm a college and graduate school educated black man, but you know what? A racist white officer only sees a nigga.
Exactly.
I'm just going to keep it real.
You got that right.
Understand? I'm just keeping it real. You understand? So I live it every day. Russell, I'm sure you live it. Another black man who are listening, we live it in. For those of us who have sons, we're teaching our sons to navigate this reality.
It's hard, real quick. And even the officer, what's his name on CNN last night on the vigil? He said it. My son pants sag. He wears his hair cocked to the side. He got a tattoo. So what? So what?
Exactly. It, in and of itself, a hoodie, sagging pants, shades, baseball cap, does not automatically make one a thug. I just want to say a couple things. I think that there is no one-step solution. I'm just going to lay out a couple things as we close the show tonight. We have to, the police have to be educated. They have to be educated.
People feel what they don't know. That's facts right there. They don't know the black man, really. They think they know, but they don't know. Because if it all takes is sagging pants to scare you, then you really got a problem.
Exactly. And so the police have to be educated. We have to exercise the vote so that we vote people out of office who embrace racist ideologies, and even though I'm not a Republican, I think that the country during the last election, when the Tea Party people were not voted in for the most part, I think it does say something about our country that extremism in any form is not really embraced by the majority of Americans. So we got to vote people out who have racist ideologies, and we have to vote people in who do not have racist ideologies. As Russell alluded to earlier, and also Mira, we got to protest. We got to continue to fight. We got to continue to fight so that justice will be the order of the day. We got to teach our young black men how to interact with the police. Because the reality is that one day, I'm sure all of us who are black men are going to be stopped by the police. And then finally, we've got to change the laws in such a way that police who kill our young black men are not protected. I want to thank everybody for your comments, for your passion, being articulate, for taking the time to call in. You're listening to Real Relevant Law, the best in relationship radio. I'm your co-host, Michael T, along with my co-host. Amir, you still on?
Come on, Amir.
Well, I think Amir has maybe her phone died out. I'm your co-host, Michael Stephen, all my co-hosts, the Candy Girl of Comedy.
I'm sorry about that. Hey, y'all, Mira Ryans, the Candy Girl of Comedy. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Like I said, thanks for having me tonight. I had a ball, and I just think it was I think it was very interesting that we all had that conversation. It need to be, you know, we need to talk about it more.
Exactly, and I'm thankful for Russell who called in, for Nikki who called in. Listen, everybody, thank you for those who are listening live and those who will listen via the archive. Tune in next week for more Real, Relevant, and Raw. Have a good night.
All right, Mike. God bless.
All right.
All right, Amira.